We'll talk about that here in a little bit, but I do want to ask you this question this morning. I want to open up with this question for you. I want you to think about it and within yourself, see what you think today. But can you remember a moment of ingratitude or ungratefulness that you had in your life? Maybe as a child, or maybe someone was that way toward you upon receiving a gift from you. So just think about that for a moment. You know, maybe it's, for you parents, a story of a child that you have in your life. One of your children. Maybe you can remember very well a moment where something happened. Or maybe you've just witnessed an act of ingratitude or an act of ungratefulness that just totally baffled you. We tend to seem like we're coming across moments like that more and more often. Around us in the world today, we see folks who are completely ungrateful for gifts that they're given. I'm not going to get into the political statements that could be made here, but we all know where we could go with that. We all know that we could get into a discussion about that. Maybe someone was given a gift, or maybe, I don't know, their attitude upon receiving said gift was that of a spoiled brat, or as we mentioned earlier, Veruca Salt from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But that being said, here's the thing. Gratitude is something we need to understand. But the opposite of gratitude is ungratefulness. There's another word that we see thrown about in our society today that I think really ties in with where we want to go today. So I want to throw that one at you real quickly. And that word is simply this: entitlement. How many of us know what the word entitlement means? I see nodding heads more than raising hands. I see that hand, but no, I see people nodding. So, you know, the give me what I deserve attitude, the I want what I earned, except for I didn't actually earn anything. You know, and here's the thing: don't ever pray the things that are said when you think you're entitled to something, because those are not words that God wants to hear from you. He doesn't want you demanding he give you anything. The fact of the matter is that is not at all how our lives are supposed to be. Entitlement is the belief that you should be able to get whatever you want, whenever you want it, that it's owed to you. And we see that running rampant in the world around us today. We see folks in the world today who think that they are owed everything, and some who think they don't have to work to get it. You know, people who feel entitled never have the opportunity to feel grateful. Now, I'll explain that as we continue on, but I want that to sink in for just a moment. People who feel entitled never have the opportunity to feel grateful. And the reason I say that is because gratitude is the correct response when we are recipients of someone's favor. We should show gratitude. We should be grateful. So how do we overcome ungratefulness? How do we find ourselves in a circumstance where we overcome those moments in our lives? That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, let's look at it this way for a moment. Gratitude is universal. Now, it stretches beyond the doors of this building. It stretches beyond just the church in general. Gratitude is something that everyone understands. If you don't believe me, just look in the world around us today. It is a universal virtue. And we know what virtues are. But because of that, ungratefulness or ingratitude would also be a universal vice, right? I mean, you've got the vice versus the virtue. So here we are, we're looking at this story, and we're looking at this situation. And if you want to turn to Romans chapter 1, we're going to start there, but like I said, we're going to be all over the place. We're only going to look at a couple of verses there. But I want to say this before we go any farther. Even the secular world is inspired by gratitude. Don't believe me? Look at the stories that take place on sporting events. When you're sitting there watching a game, maybe around Thanksgiving. Or when you look at the story of an athlete who's giving back to the community. Gratitude inspires because they've been thankful for something that's happened in their life. Now they're giving back to someone else however it may work, whatever the case might be, gratitude inspires. If someone is grateful, we're inspired by them. We see something different in them. We see a happiness in them that's not the same. But on the opposite side, I want to think about this today. I want us to look at the spirit of ingratitude, the spirit of ungratefulness, the spirit of thanklessness, so to speak. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 22 shows us a little something about the company that someone who is ungrateful or someone experiencing ingratitude keeps. Starting in verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." That's pretty harsh words. And no, we've not gotten there in our study on Romans, and it might be January before we do, but the fact of the matter is, we will get there. And I know we're going to look at those verses in detail, and I do encourage you to come and experience that with us. But the thing is, what we're looking at right now is just simply the words, straight up, what Paul said. Let's not dive into this too deep. Paul says it like he means it right here. It says, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then this is the best part of this entire section. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And when we look at that, and we think about that situation in general, we see it all around us in the world today. We can clearly see what is taking place. And we can clearly see that the things happening around us in the world, they claim to be wise, but they become utter fools. Because when you look at it and you think of the worldly wisdom that they're trying to bestow upon us, it's not the wisdom of Solomon. It's not the wisdom of the Lord. It's not the wisdom that is given by God who created us. It's not the wisdom from the Creator. It's wisdom from the one who would like to think they were a creator, but in reality, they're just running off the mouth. They don't show thankfulness. They don't show gratitude in their lives. And you know, and that's like a baby step. They wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. That's like one of the first things that we talk about as Christians. Yet Paul here is talking about that. He's talking about just the foundation of faith. You know, if we want to get a little deeper, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3 tells us a little something here too. Again, Paul writing there to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 3, he says, verses 1 through 5, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godlessness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." Wow, okay. So Paul has now told us in two different places of these kind of people. He's told us a little bit more here in 2 Timothy as he's writing to Timothy telling him, hey, look, the last days are going to happen, and here's what's going to start happening in those days, and these are the people you're going to come across. And right in the middle of it all, he throws in the word ungrateful. Now, they will be boastful and proud. Another translation puts it this way, "For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful." Wow, that's pretty harsh words. That's a hard way for us to really let it sink in for a moment what an ungrateful person looks like. Because Paul takes the opportunity to single that word out by itself, ending a sentence with it, basically letting you know that these people are going to be difficult to deal with. All of these attributes that you see here are attributes of someone who we can look around us in the world today. And if these are the characteristics given to us, it's not someone we would choose to be friends with. It's not someone that we would really even want to have any kind of company with, right? Unless, of course, we're the same type of person. But then it continues and goes on. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others. And here's the kicker. They will have no self-control. We can go into a lot of details as to why they have no self-control. And it typically starts with who they make the head of their life. If they're trying to live a life that is godless, if they're trying to live a life of ungratefulness, they're not going to give any of these things. They're going to just simply live. They'll be puffed up with pride. They will love pleasure rather than God. They will love the things the world has to offer. See, this is why we are to be set apart. So as we continue here, there's one other verse I want to go to. Another verse doesn't really say the words necessarily, but, you know, we see it in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. We've been studying that on Sunday nights. Matthew 24, 10 talks about what the last days will look like. And that men will turn against one another. They will betray one another. They will hate one another. You know, they will be offended. Well, offense happens when someone's ungrateful. When someone's not thankful for the things that they have been given in life. Those things happen. So it's one of the first steps down a slippery slope of sin that we start to see. It's one of the things that we start to see in the Christian walk that can lead us down a path of destruction. We talk about sin all day long. But in Romans 1, we see that it's that first step down a path that could cause us pain. In 2 Timothy, Paul continues to tell Timothy that it would be a sign of the last days because people will become increasingly ungrateful. So I want us to think about that this morning, and I want to think about a time now that you maybe felt grateful. You know, I don't want to talk about all the negative stuff. We had you think about the times that we were ungrateful or a time that someone was ungrateful to you. I want you to think about a time. I'll give you a moment to think about it, but I'm not going to ask anyone necessarily to share. I want you to think about a time in which you found yourself just overwhelmingly grateful for something or for someone. You know, think of this grateful moment. And then when you think of it, and I mean, many of you probably already know, just right off the top of your head, of a moment that meant so much to you, that you were so grateful, whether it was to someone else or to God, whatever the case might be. I want you to think about the feelings that you associated with that moment. I want you to think about the feelings that are associated with that state of mind. And if you are like me or like others, you probably are thinking of words such as peaceful, content, warm, giving, friendly, joyful, loving. I mean, you've probably got other words. But those are some words that describe that moment. But when you're unlikely to think of those moments as stressful. You're unlikely to think of those moments as resentful. Or you don't look back on those moments with negative feelings or hatred. Am I right? I mean, we shouldn't look back on those good moments of life. The question that we have today, gratitude has always been a virtue that the church has focused on. And let me tell you why. Now, like I said, we're going to be all over the Bible, and I'm not going to ask you to turn. I'm just going to read them for you, and we're going to go on with it. But there's a number of verses. I've just got a sampling here. I looked it up. I couldn't even find a number, and I'm not even sure that there's an exact number. I don't know if you could count the number of times that the Bible talks about giving thanks. But here's just a few of the verses that I have. 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Blake read one this morning, Psalm 100. Psalm 92, 1 through 5. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by the 10-string harp and the melody of the lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do and how deep are your thoughts? Or maybe Psalm 95:2. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. The entirety of Psalm 100. Blake read verse 4 this morning. But shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. Folks, this is just a sampling of what Scripture has to tell us about being thankful and being grateful. I love Psalm 107. I love the way this is worded here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. I mean, what more reason do we have than salvation to be thankful and grateful? What more reason do we have to overcome ungratefulness in this world than to just be grateful for the moment the Lord has given us, to be able to worship him, to come before him, to experience his love and know that it endures forever? But more than a virtue, more than a command from the Scripture, gratitude also has been backed up by science. There was a test. There was a group that was kept as like the normal, the base group. And then they had one group who was consciously being more grateful about things in their lives. And they had one group who was consciously being ungrateful. Now I want you to, it was kind of summed up. Deborah Norville, who was a news anchor years ago, wrote a book called Thank You Power. Now I'm not trying to preach a prosperity gospel this morning, because I don't believe that that's what this is talking about. I believe that what she's given here is just simply, she says, here's a laundry list of the study's conclusions about test subjects who were consciously grateful. This is just scientific research. They did a test, they came back to this, and here we go. They felt better about their lives as a whole. They were more optimistic, more energetic, more enthusiastic, determined, more interested, more joyful. They felt stronger about handling challenges. They exercised more, nearly an hour and a half more per week. They exercised. They had fewer illnesses. They got more sleep. They made progress toward important personal goals. They were more likely to have helped someone else. They were perceived by others as more generous and helpful. They were less envious of those with more possessions. They were less cluttered. And then there are other benefits that we can find as well. Clearer thinking. Better resilience during tough times, higher immune response, same thing, list goes on and on. And then you get down to the bottom, longer lives, closer family ties, greater religiousness. Now, I'm not talking about being religious today, but what I am saying is if you are a grateful person, you recognize where it came from, and you turn to that source just a little bit more than someone who's not grateful for the things that they have. You know, there's some quotes that we could even look at. Dan Gutman says in the book The Genius Files, number 4, sometimes we spend so much time and energy thinking about where we want to go that we don't notice where we happen to be. You know, it's true. Sometimes we spend so much time and energy focused on what we think should be happening in our lives that we don't take the moment to realize right where we are. We don't take the moment to experience life exactly where we are. A.W. Tozer put it this way, perhaps it takes a purer faith to praise God for unrealized blessings than for those we once enjoyed or those we enjoy now. I mean, sometimes it takes a little bit of faith for us to realize that maybe the thing we wanted wasn't necessarily the thing that was best for us. Maybe the thing that we had prayed over and sought so hard was not necessarily the thing that God had intended for us in that moment. And this is where it comes down to, what is the life you are living? Are you living a life to try to please yourself, being ungrateful toward everything that's given to you by God? Or are you living a life in alignment with His will and allowing Him to do what He needs to do to make you better? To make you the person you should be. To make you the creation He made. And in that moment, you realize that the unrealized blessings are just as thankful as the realized achievement. The moments that we're seeing, the unrealized blessings, are just as good as the ones we've enjoyed or the ones we're enjoying now. That's a great quote. You know, the thing is what we see. There's many other quotes that I could really give you about thankfulness. Quotes that would really open us up to another moment with this Callistos where said, if I do not feel the sense of joy in God's creation, if I forget to offer the world back to God with thankfulness, I have advanced very little upon the way. I have not yet learnt to be truly human, for it is only through thanksgiving that I can become myself. We can't become who God wants us to be if we don't embrace thankfulness in our lives. You know, John Piper actually says a lot of things about being thankful. But he's quoted as saying, do not say, but it is hypocritical to thank God with my tongue when I don't feel thankful in my heart. There is such thing as a hypocritical thanksgiving. Its aim is to conceal ingratitude and to get the praise of men. That is not your aim. Your aim is in loosing your tongue with words of gratitude that God would be merciful and fill your words with the emotion of true gratitude. You are not seeking the praise of men. You are seeing the mercy of God. You are not hiding the hardness of ingratitude, but hoping for the inbreaking of the Spirit. And then he says this, thanksgiving with the mouth stirs up thankfulness in the heart. And it's true. If you are thankful vocally, if you continue to thank God for the blessings that you have or the blessings you didn't have, then you will stir up something inside of your heart. And you will start to see the effects. If you take a conscious effort to make yourself grateful, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect those who are around you. So how do we overcome ungratefulness? We become grateful. We make a conscious effort to thank God in the times of hurt. Maybe it's praying through the Psalms. Maybe it's just getting those words out of our mouths. Maybe it's just taking the opportunity to say them in a prayer. You know, sometimes it's hard to be thankful. Sometimes it's really difficult when we go through the loss of a loved one. When we go through what Job maybe went through. You know, the funny thing is Job went through a difficult time, a very difficult time. And yet Job still thanked God for the opportunities. And it wasn't until the negative nature of his friends finally weighed him down that he even questioned God. I mean, you know, thanksgiving within your mouth, spewing that out of your mouth, makes you thankful because you're focused on it. You're consciously giving an effort to be grateful. It's that, what's the cliche statement? The attitude of gratitude that everybody talks about. If you put forth an attitude of gratitude, gratitude will take hold within who you are. You know, I bet if we asked a group of people, if we asked around and we got answers and asked people what something is that they would say gives them pure joy. If I were to ask around the room in here today, I think we would get some answers. Some of the responses might include, you know, being in the woods, getting a trophy buck. I don't know. Do we have any hunters here today? I don't know. So, I mean, but that would make you happy, wouldn't it? Or maybe, you know, for me, getting a hole-in-one with witnesses would be amazing. Blake, you'd like to get a hole-in-one with witnesses, right? You know, it's like the preacher that was out playing golf on a Sunday morning. He decided he was just going to continue playing. And the angels went to God, was that whole story, and said, God, you know, you need to punish him. Throw a thunderstorm at him or whatever. Well, the next hole was a par four, and he hit a hole in one. And the angel said, well, how's that punishment? He said, who's he going to tell? You know, I mean, because he was skipping church to play golf rather than be there. You know, God just looked at the angel and said, who's he going to tell? You know, didn't have any witnesses. But the thing is, you know, being on top of a mountain, going on a hike, seeing the beauty of God, those are things that make you happy. But amazingly, you're not going to hear somebody say, while going through all these different trials in my life, that's something if you're going through a difficult time, thankfulness is the last thing on your mind. If you're going through health problems, thankfulness is not something that you immediately think of. You know, I'm sure that my list, I was thinking of it overnight and trying to figure out what my list would include. Salvation would definitely be on there. Life, health, family, this church, friends. There's a number of things. You know, I'm grateful to be in the nation that we are in. Based on what I know about the nations around the world, I'm grateful to have the freedoms that we do in America. You know, now, I may not agree with some of the things. There may be quite a few flaws within the country, but I need to get better at spotting the little things for me in life. I need to get better at spotting the things that I should be grateful for. And that could be even the moments when I don't have the energy to be grateful. The moments that maybe have changed my life. You know, there's a number of things, and I could go through a list of things. Things that I know in the past that I have seen make others happy. A newborn baby. When that baby is born, tell me one person who can walk in that room and not smile or be thankful. Newborns have a way with people. You could be the hardest-hearted person in the world. You could hate children and you can love a newborn because that moment when you see them face to face, you realize that there is a creation right in front of you and that that's the beginning of life. And it all came from God. I mean, it's unexplainable. You could see the hardest of men, the biggest of men, just melt into a puddle having a baby. I mean, when you see your child or you see someone in your family have a child, whatever it might be, those are things that might get you. A phone call from a family friend to give you some great news. You're happy for them. You know, there's so many things that can change our life for the good. And the Bible even makes it clear that we have a reason to be grateful for the less than enjoyable parts of life too. James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4. And I'm not going to turn there. I'm just going to read. There's one translation puts it this way. It says, don't run from tests and hardships. And we know it's talking about perseverance. But this version puts it in words that I think I don't even need to explain necessarily. Don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters. As difficult as they are, you will ultimately find joy in them. If you embrace them, your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. And true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line. Mature, complete, and wanting nothing. You know, if we can be patient in those times of life, those difficult times, we can find joy in the hardships. Romans 8:28. Now, I know there's a lot of debate we can have on this, but Romans 8:28 simply says this. It says, as we know, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, I don't necessarily agree with all the translations that are out there. I think that there are some difficult things to embrace with that. And as I said, we will get there. But there is something simple in this. And if we look at it, it just simply says this. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, all debates aside, God will utilize those situations in our lives. Both of those passages hint that we can be grateful even in the valley. That we can be grateful for the valleys in our lives because we know that he will not waste the pain we are going through. We know that that is not wasted pain. However, he will bring us through it. And if we endure, if we are patient, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, those who endure to the end shall be saved. You know, Job gave us that good example through his life. Everything was taken away from Job, and yet he could still say, though he slay me, I will trust him. Though he slay me, I will trust him. How powerful is that kind of gratefulness, that kind of gratitude? When we're going through difficult times, it may be much more challenging for us to remember that we can be grateful. You know, we have much to be thankful for. We have so much in our lives. We've got a roof over our head. We got to church this morning. We woke up. We put clothes on our back. We put food in our belly. You know, there's a lot we can be grateful for today. Your circumstances are not likely to be as hard as Job's. I venture to say that no one's going to lose their entire livelihood in one day. Family, friends, health. I'm not saying it was one day exactly with Job, but I mean, it was quick. Because the devil wanted to prove a point to God, and God proved a point to the devil through the Job that he knew. The Job that was thankful in times of adversity. The Job that was thankful in those moments. You know, our first instinct is to blame someone else. It's to be less than grateful and to blame someone for our problems. Maybe it was our first grade teacher is why we got in trouble. Maybe it was our fifth grade teacher is why we got paddled. Maybe, just maybe, it was our spouse or ex or, I don't know. I mean, I could list a number of things. Maybe it's my fault. You know, like, I mean, when that fell this morning, that was a perfect example of what I'm saying right now. I looked at Blake. I said, this is your fault. I don't know how it was Blake's fault, but, I mean, those are moments that we're saying. But I think John Maxwell is the one that calls it the Bob principle. He says, when Bob has a problem with everyone, Bob is usually the problem. Makes sense. If someone has a problem with everyone around them, maybe they're the problem. And if you have a problem with everyone around you, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there. There's only one common denominator. There's only one commonality in all of that, and that is you. So are we going to be someone who is grating on someone else? Are we going to be someone who is not grateful, or are we going to be grateful in our lives? You know, I want to challenge you today when you get home, when you get a moment, take a few minutes just to sit down and list the things that you are grateful for. Then hang them up. Hang them up somewhere. Hang them on your mirror. Hang them beside your closet, wherever you will see them. Wherever it will remind you of the things you have going for you. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about being grateful. We're going to talk about living a life of thankfulness. That's why I called it Thanksgiving and not Thanksgiving. Because that's what I want us to go for. To live a life that is thankful and not a life that is thankless. Now, we all may serve through thankless situations. We might give in service to the church in a thankless position. You know, I got to thinking about that this morning and thinking about the things that get done. How many of you know that Lamar is the one that takes care of the baptistry? That's a thankless job for Lamar. But Lamar needs to be thanked for that job. And thank you, by the way. But he doesn't do it to get the thankful, to get the thanks from us. I mean, he does it out of service because that's what he does. And I could go through and list all of them. And I'm sorry to single you out this morning. I should have mentioned it first. But the thing is how many of you know the things that some people do around this church? How many of you know the things that some people do around you in life? Do you think that certain places clean themselves? No, we have a sign-up sheet. We know who cleans it. But the church gets clean. I mean, but many times those things go unthanked, unnoticed. You know, I mean, kids, your parents. There's not really any kids but Chris here. But your parents, I mean, I guess your parents are here and you're with them, then yeah, you're a kid, right? But your parents did a number of things in your life. How do you think things got done? Did they just magically appear? No. And we can all look at moments in our lives. You know, Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2. I want to read it again. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? So I want to ask you this question as we close out today. We'll come back next week and we'll talk a little more about it. But I want to ask this question today. What is it you need to be more thankful in your life? What is it you need to make you more grateful? What is it that you need to make you a happier person? Some people in this world might say that they need that next big sale where they can get all these clothes for a discounted price, that that would be what makes them happy. Material things. Is that what you need? Do you need someone to offer gratitude to you in a physical form because you want to be thanked for the things that you do? Because you need the world to catch attention of what you're doing because that would make you happy? Or do you just need to live a life of thanks living? Live a life that is thankful. To wake up in the morning and thank God for another day. To wake up in the morning and see the sunrise and say, God, this is beautiful. Thank you. Or it could be just something as simple as that. But we live our lives so ungrateful. We live our lives so unthankful for the things that are happening around us that many times we miss out on the blessings that are waiting right around the corner. So as we close out today, let's stand and sing the first verse of Amazing Grace. But please, go home, list those out, hang them up somewhere. But let's overcome ungratefulness with just an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude of being thankful for the things that you have in your life today.